Long time ago, in a faraway land, the people of Israel witnessed an epic clash between two rival gods. On one side was the Pharaoh of Egypt. This Pharaoh, like all pharaohs before and after him, considered himself a god. In his realm, he exercised the powers of life and death. His word was law. To cross the Pharaoh meant courting one's own demise. On the other side was the mysterious God of the Israelites, who reveals himself to Moses as I am who I am. This I am sent Moses to accomplish the impossible, the liberation of God's people from Pharaoh's dominion. This God, this great I am, led Israel with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand. This God gave Israel bread from heaven in the desert and water from the rock. And despite their unfaithfulness, which they show time and time again, God remained faithful to them. Every year to this day, observant Jews still celebrate and remember God's faithfulness in the Passover meal, which began last week. Every year they celebrate their release from the cruel Pharaoh, whose weapons were slavery, torture, and death, and the gift of a new free life in the one true Lord and God, the great I am. Much later, after a meal the evening before the Passover, Jesus revealed even more to his disciples about true lordship, about true authority and power. And that authority and power is revealed most clearly not in revenge, not in military might, and not in domination of one's enemies. True lordship is revealed in a self-emptying love that is faithful to the end. Think of what happens that night. In the days of dusty roads and poor footwear, every self-respecting householder would have had water available for foot washing. Poorer households would invite guests to wash their own feet, but wealthier ones would have a slave do the washing. In washing his disciples' feet, Jesus, the Lord of life and the author of creation, takes the role of a household slave. He washes their feet, not merely as an act of service. He doesn't wash them as merely a nice thing to do. He washes his feet as representative of his lordship, as representative of his work and his mission to liberate the world from all false lords. This work is now carried forward by us, contemporary disciples of Jesus Christ. But these false lords have stayed busy in the world. These pharaohs have stuck around. They've been around since the dawn of human history, but they're so easy to see now. We only need to open our social media accounts, turn on the news, or read the newspaper, assuming anyone reads the newspaper anymore, to see them at work in every part of human life. And I mean everywhere. They're in the workplace, to the church, to all levels of government. And as Jesus once said, we know them by their fruits. In Galatians 6, Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So the fruits of these false lords would presumably be the opposite of that: hatred, rage, strife, impatience, infidelity, and impulsivity. And at root, a refusal to see oneself as a human among humans, like the pharaohs who saw themselves as gods over everyone. In other words, there are pharaohs aplenty in our world doing the exact same things that pharaohs did 4,000 years ago. The more things change, the more they truly stay the same. Little wonder Psalm 146 issues this warning: put not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. And there's a saying by biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann, if you've met one Pharaoh, you've met them all. But our triune God is not like the Pharaohs of yesteryear or today. God is utterly unlike any other human leader. This God is not defined by his domination of the world, but by his love of it. This love is most fully revealed in Jesus Christ, who washes the feet of his disciples, all of his disciples, even the betrayer Judas. Even on the eve of his murder at the hands of the Pharaohs of his age, of the religious leaders and Pilate, Jesus shows his disciples his determination to be in a relationship of mutual agape love with all of humanity. This love doesn't demand, doesn't coerce, but invites. It invites. This love is not based on fear, but on faith. And this love is most fully revealed to us on the cross, where Jesus, the Lord of all, opens his arms to all. As he says to the crowd in John 12, and I, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. That same invitation, an invitation of mutuality, of love, is offered to you tonight and to me. Jesus invites us all to his table, where he feeds us once again with the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, where he will feed a couple of our very young members for the first time with his body and blood. Jesus invites us yet again to abide in him, to wash the feet of others, so to speak, as he has washed our feet. And Jesus also invites us to not only recognize today's pharaohs for the false lords they are, but to recognize him as our true Lord. Jesus has already won the victory. Jesus has already triumphed over all things which separate us from his Father. And Jesus will welcome us all who abide in him into his Father's house. Come to the table tonight. Receive him. Receive his love for you and for the whole world. Amen.